One caravan's on the mountains, one caravan's from the sea, one caravan's made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One caravan's from the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one caravan. One caravan heals the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when
everybody, Pastor Buddy, joining you live tonight. Got a great program. Thank you for staying up with us late and getting on a little bit late. We're coming in here anyway. We're live. Praise Yahweh. Part, I would like to say nine. I think it's part nine. We're getting into quite a few parts on this message of the pyramids in 20 and 12. And we're just going to different subjects. Tonight, we're going to look at the devil. You know, in the county that I was raised in, the high school I went to high school in, their mascot, if you would have it, was a devil called the Claiborne Blue Devils. And they had a mascot that, you know, dressed up in a devil suit, and he had a pitchfork and a forked tail, and we were always grabbing him by his tail and yanking it and cutting up with him and things of this nature. And that's basically the view of Satan. Everybody, you know, they just believe he's got a forked tail with a pitchfork and he's trying to throw you into hell. Well, that's not too far from right, but the Bible describes Satan entirely different. We're going to look at him tonight in the scriptures and tell you what he is and what he ain't, where he's at and where he should be, and things of this nature. Most of the time, he gets blamed for a lot of people's meanness. You know, you've got a carnal mind. You've got a mind to do good, just like the devil has, and you've got a mind to do evil. And Satan had that. He had a choice. The Bible said he was created perfect until iniquity was found in him. So that's why the Bible said to try the spirits. Now, we're telling you tonight that spirits or angels are ministering spirits according to the book of Hebrews. Ministering spirits. They were created to serve for the purpose. You are them to whom they are to serve. they carry messengers or messages from the messenger, Yahweh. Yahweh himself can appear as an angel. Yahweh can appear as anything he wants to. Can Satan appear like that? Does Satan have the power to come to you as a shining light? But really, he's not. He can put on the show. He can, in some instances, deceive you. And when you don't think you can be deceived, or when you think you stand, take heed, lest you fall. Now, the Bible said that God is a spirit. Now, we're talking about, when we say God, we're talking about El in relationship to the Hebrew Scriptures. But most of the time, I say the Eternal or Yahweh. So, I'm going to say Yahweh. Yahweh is a spirit. Now, that spirit became flesh and bone. This is the marvelous thing about it. Now, my question is, since Satan is an imitator, a copier, or a counterfeiter, can Satan become flesh and bone? You say, oh, no, no way. Well, you may change your mind after we get through tonight. You may have a different opinion of how much power Satan has. Now, we know that in certain instances, he's limited or he's restrained, as we've been talking about. Last time we talked about the 1,000-year reign and when he's going to be loosed. Well, if he's going to be loosed a little season, and the Bible says he is he just coming in man and causing man to rebel and man to get evil and man to, you know, man's been evil ever since he's been here in the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis, because the Bible said his mind continuously was on evil. Well, that's a fertile ground for Satan to sow in. If Satan wants to be evil, and man is already evil, or he tends to be evil, or to choose evil, and the Bible said, choose this day who you'll serve. It's all about choice. If Satan had a choice, when he was created, he was perfect. Man, he was. The Bible said he was perfect until, there's a lot of people that's perfect in their own mind. They never make a mistake. They never do anything wrong. And they imitate Satan. They're good little boys when they need to be, and then when they don't have to be, or they get the advantage of you, or they get you under their foot. That's the way Satan is. He'll be your friend, your buddy, until he gets a stab at you. And he very seldom misses with his pitchfork if he's got one, because I've hung on the end of his pitchfork several times. Paul said, I'm not ignorant of his devices. Now, the reason Paul wasn't ignorant of his devices, he had been on the receiving end of Satan's wrath. When you would do good, evil's always present. Remember that. So John 4:24 said God's a spirit, and Satan is a ministering spirit. He was made to serve you. But he found by deceiving you or going against your wishes, I wish that Satan would serve me all the time. But so far, the only thing he served up to me is trouble. Because when you do good, evil's always present, and the more good you want to do. In other words, if you want to be now, being good is not just, well, I don't smoke cigarettes, I don't drink beer, I don't drink wine, I spit white and I drink right and I don't run around with women and I don't cuss. That don't make you good. It might make you think you're good. You might sometimes take a cussing fit and get it all out so that Yahweh can prove that you ain't nothing anyway. I mean, he had to prove to Paul that he was nothing, because Paul got so elevated and so stuck up on himself. I mean, when he was praying prayers and waking up the dead and turning deputies blind or the deputy that they tried to turn from the faith, Yahweh turned him blind, and he could recognize the false spirits in people, and he would bind them and things. He just got so elevated and so exalted in himself that he began to think he was something. It was really him doing it. So Yahweh had to put a physical thorn in his flesh, whatever what that was. And then here come Satan. Now, I told you that Satan was a ministering spirit, so Satan ministered to him. And if you think that Satan can't talk, and if you think Satan can't walk along with you, and if you think that Satan can't put things in your mind, it's just not so. But make you believe him anyway. He can put jealousy in your heart. He can put envy, and he can put strife. He can put the 17 works of the flesh in you so quick your head will swim. Hebrews 1:13-14 says angels are spirits, ministering spirits. Now, you can't see a spirit. Yet the Bible repeatedly affirms that they exist anyway. In the same fashion, the Bible describes Satan as a living spirit being who has other spirit friends that run around with him. You can't see them. Right now in the third dimension, they don't exist except they possess the bodies of the physical entities of the third dimension. And yet, they exist. Now, how do we recognize an enemy we can't see? That's been Satan's success down through the ages, is that he repeatedly stays out of, you know, view. He can't be seen. Now, remember I told you that I believe that there is an astrological event that has got him bound in the heavens in a deep, dark dungeon hole in a planet adrift somewhere through the heavens. Now, we know that legend has it, and sometimes these legends could be true. That they've been told repeatedly that we wouldn't be blind. We'd really know if Paul was not ignorant to his devices. How is he constantly getting us and deceiving us? It's because that we don't have the ability or the mile markers along the way to stop and view him real good. Oh yeah, you'll sit down on a log and you know, you can be jealous of your wife or you can be jealous of somebody's riches next door, and you can plot and plan, and the devil could say, "Well, you know they're guilty, go over and kill them." And the first thing you know, he's got you in there oiling your gun up, ready to kill. Till you come to your senses, if you do. Now, if you don't, and you are constantly badgered by the 17 works of the flesh, envy, strife, anger, pride, all these things that lift you up, then you are just going through the exterior motions of recognizing these products. They come from Satan. They certainly don't come from Yahweh. So angels are constantly coming to you and checking you. Now, I'm going to prove to you that Job in 1:6, Satan is described in Job 1:6 as a living being just as real as God. And, you know, I have noticed something here that had just come to my attention, my thought process here as I minister to you about what Satan's profile is all about. You know, him and Yahweh talked quite a bit. The Satan is not, he's not invisible to Yahweh. Yahweh recognized him in the garden as being there prior to him coming in. When he found Eve pregnant, he began to question her, and she said, well, that guy over there, that good-looking guy. Now, the truth has got to be the truth. The Bible says that he's not a snake. He's that's just a depiction, just like God is not Yahweh, and Yahweh is not God. That's just a title. And I taught the Sunday night on WWCR what the name applies to and what it stands for. He's called God, but he's not a God because there's many gods. Satan is a god. You've got to be more descriptive in the profile. So we've got to profile Satan and let him stand out to be really who he is. Job's families, Job's friends. Satan could talk to him. He talked to Job. I mean, he was on a person-to-person. Boy, I'm telling you, if you've never been tempted by Satan, and you hear him talking to you, you're in trouble. Unless Yahweh rescues you. Unless Yahweh rebukes Satan for your sake. You don't have the power. The Bible said Satan can take you captive at his own will. You are helpless against Satan unless you're armed with one thing that Satan can't stand. And he'll try you on that. That's the word. The only thing that Yahweh the Christ, or Yahweh the Messiah, when he came in a flesh body like a man, he was tempted in all points so that he could see if he could pass the test, because many men had come before him and it failed because they met Satan, the adversary, and they couldn't stand up against him. They couldn't resist him. David couldn't resist him. Solomon couldn't resist him. Moses couldn't resist him. Why? He had Moses saying, why, you know you can't circumcise your sons. Now, you know that's going to hurt. And a living God wouldn't ask you to do something like that. Take an old flint knife, sharpen it up, and cut their penis and cut the end off of it and throw it away. Well, that's foolish. If Yahweh didn't want you to have that, he wouldn't have put it on you. Well, here come Moses' wife, and she just jerked them little old boys up and just cut the foreskins off and throwed it at Moses' feet. And that, and you know what Yahweh did? Because he did that? Because he was tempted and refused to do what Yahweh told him? He was staying at the hotel that night. And Yahweh came to the hotel. I don't know what he's dressed in. But he tried to kill him. Here is Yahweh's prophet disobeying Yahweh and being tempted by Satan. You see, Satan can get you killed. I mean, Yahweh, he can be provoked. And Yahweh Yahweh, the Bible literally said that Yahweh tried to hunt him up out of that motel. I don't know where he did. He knew what room he's in, or whether something hit him or he hit himself, but he must have known that there was a hit out on him, and Yahweh was fixing to carry it out. He came personally, the Bible said. And Yahweh sought to kill him because he refused, or because he was tempted and accepted Satan's temptation. He said, yeah, you're right. I don't see no use of that anyway. Well, I'll kill my boys. I love my sons. I'm not going to circumcise them. And boy, when he turned old Moses' mind against the command of Yahweh, when Satan does you the same way, I don't have to keep the Sabbath. I don't really have to know who's who and who's a Jew. I don't have to worry about them things. Shoot, I'm perfect. I don't interfere with nobody's business. I just go to Sunday school and I'm a good guy, and I'm taking care of my family here and paying my bills. I'm all right. You know, ladies and gentlemen, if you are not willing to live dangerously and provide the things that Yahweh wants you to do, I'm telling you, we're living in an age where we're going so far out against Yahweh and His command. The Bible said, if you love Him, you'll keep His commandments. And today, not many people really, truly love Yahweh. They love Satan. Satan has got some logic. Yahweh's got foolish things. And when you obey Him, you're going to look foolish. You're going to sound foolish. You're going to be foolish. And if you're not willing to drop your pride and your analytical mind, your carnal mind, you don't know what Satan looks like. Satan will come, and he will tempt you to turn him. Oh, yeah, you know, we don't do that no more. We're not under the law no more. You know, that's one of the favorite phrases that Satan has got to put in your mind. Oh, yeah. Yep, that's right. We're not under the law, glory to God. Well, if we won't do the things that Yahweh said, like circumcise our children, just because Satan said, well, that's cruel. I wouldn't do my little boy that way. Ladies and gentlemen, we will do anything that the devil says or suggests. We'll pull our clothes off in sub-zero weather. Say, you know you're tough. Look at your team here. Why, it's the Claiborne Blue Devils. You get out there and you root for the Blue Devils. You take your shirt off when it's snowing and tell them that you're tough. Bring it on. You sit there in sub-zero weather and you raise your arms and you shout. You praise. You glorify the flesh man. Somebody was to ask you to come out and sit and listen to the scripture being read and the law being read. You say, are you out of your mind? Where? Out here in the elements? Honey, no, 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 no. Matthew 13 and 19. This is one of my favorite chapters, is Matthew. And I could preach about the evils of Satan, the parable of the sower. Now, what this parable is going to tell you, that there's two sowers. It should be the parable of the two sowers. Yahweh called him the evil one, who snatches the word when it's sown. When you hear these commands, Satan will come and say, oh, you don't have to do that. Man, that's going to make you look like an idiot. Your wife's going to leave you. And I'll go over and talk to her and tell her she ought to. I'll do you a favor. You're going to serve that old Yahweh. I'll just stir your wife up and have her to drive off. And take the children with her and, you'll be seeing her appear in court, and the judge is going to be on her side because of the evil way you're acting. I know, I've been tried. Praise God. You get out here and act like you're a devil chaser. You praise Yahweh, and you're always going to church, and you're always carrying your Bible. I was a fanatic when I was a young man. And I've been through all these things that Satan can tell your wife or your best friend or your worst enemy. Satan's destiny is for you to fail. He was born to turn you away from Yahweh. It's his nature. It's completely opposite of Yahweh. And when you say, well, yeah, Yahweh's always good and the devil's always evil, that ain't right. Let's go back to the hotel back there. Here is Moses. He got a lecture from Satan and said, why, you know, that child could bleed to death here and ain't no doctors probably in town. You don't know nobody. You're just passing through. Go ahead. You leave them little boys alone. And the Bible said that Moses was very meek. Probably couldn't stand to see blood. Just starting out in the gospel. And he believed that. And so that analytical questioning from Satan, it appeared to be good. But in reality, it was evil. And what Yahweh had appeared to be evil to tell him to cut the foreskin of the penis off, Moses concluded that, yeah, that was evil. See, so every time that you think that God is good and Satan's evil, you better turn that around and reverse it. Because Satan will come as a shining light. He'll come as your friend. He'll pose many logical questions to your mind. He'll give you motives and give you a way to succeed and achieve your goal by not serving Yahweh. Well, it's not really that important. I've had the devil come to me, and maybe I've been out preaching and squalling, and I'd come in at night and it'd be cold. I've been in the water baptizing at 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning, and me burning up with fever and getting in the bed at night and feeling achy, and had to go to work that next morning. I had to work. I had to raise my family. And the devil said, you know, your wife's right. You're taking this too far. And boy, the devil would work on me, and I would, you know, the body be wore out, and you know, Satan sitting right there on your shoulder wouldn't let you go to sleep, and you keep tossing and turning, and your neck would be sore, and you had a fever, and all this stuff, and that thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, he'll talk to you. But have you ever seen him in the flesh? Now, if Yahweh became flesh, my question tonight is, if you get anything out of my message, can Satan become a flesh and blood being? And your obvious analytical, logical mind is going to say, oh, what? No. Satan is a spirit. Well, so was Yahweh. He became a man. What about the imitator? What about Satan being on earth? If the Bible said he's going to be on earth, oh, yeah, but that'll be a spirit. He's a spirit. Well, Yahweh was a spirit, but he became a man. Don't you think that Satan could feel a body just like Yahweh filled that body, and it was the fullness of a Godhead, and that the fullness of the Antichrist body is coming? It's already chosen. It's already been sized. We don't know what size he is. We don't know what he's going to look like, but we know he's a coming. And we know that body of flesh, the anti, the real deal, Satan himself, the messenger that's going to bring a message of logic. Hebrews 2:14 said Satan has the power of death. His mission was to kill, steal, and destroy. And don't you think that he could possess a flesh and blood body to achieve those means through deception? I mean, when Yahweh comes, he's going to come in flame and fire, and the people on earth are literally going to fight against his coming. When Satan comes, they're going to run and grab him willingly without any analytical discussion. They will serve him whose names are not on the Lamb's Book of Life. He's got a family right here on earth right now nobody don't recognize. Those tares that the Messiah talked about in Matthew chapter 13. The wicked one sowed them, and he's got a seed here, and his angels that obeyed his example, these are mighty ones, and they're greater than you are. And even the angels in heaven, when they were contending with Satan, they didn't say, "You get out of here, Satan." The Bible said they appealed to Yahweh to rebuke him. All of them were afraid of him. It took two of the mightiest angels in heaven, to unblock the power of Satan, who covered the heavens and made them like brass when Daniel was praying for 21 days. Before he could ever get a prayer phone. You see, when things don't go like you want them, and you get mad at Yahweh for not making it so, remember that Satan will cause the heavens above you to turn to brass. He's the power of the air. He can block the message. I've had him to knock me off the air when I was preaching something that was right over the target and the devil got mad about it. He'll pull the plug. And ain't nothing that man can do about it. He has the power given to him to resist you right to the door of death. Sin was committed because of Satan's temptation. He caused the death of Job's children. He caused the loss of Job's possessions and the loss of Job's health. When the Messiah came, he healed all those that was oppressed by the devil. This cat, he just sets up evil everywhere. Because he is evil. He has the power of death at one time. He had the keys of hell and death at one time. Suffering, disease, death, that's all the result of Satan, which provokes us to sin. Sin is a transgression of the law. When a man beats his family and comes in drunk and has a wreck, or when the connection is very obvious that his suffering is a result of his sins. Fire water in your belly will cause you to act like a devil whether you are or not. I know, I've been there. I've hung on the end of that pitchfork. Satan is so crafty. All you have to do is listen to him talk to you. Well, look at you. You've been misused, and you've been abused, and you ain't going to take that, are you? The first thing you know, man, you're full of wrath. You're full of anger. You're full of hate. Satan is Satan is just not content to be evil by himself. He wants you to be with him. He loves company. He tempted Eve to go to bed with him. You say, well, now, Pastor Buddy, you just way out. He just tempted her to eat the apple off the tree. Well, they don't say that. He appealed to the lust of her flesh. The lust of her eye. And pride. She saw it will make her wise. She said, heck, ain't no use of the angels having all the fun. This ain't bad. She appealed, or she succumbed to the appeal of Satan, who was the best looking man in town. Don't you tell me that evil ain't pretty. I mean, Satan can make some of these flesh and blood people so good looking, you'll spend a whole hour watching them on TV as they strut their stuff and make you want them. Lust. Pride. Makes you wise. That's what happened to Eve. Matthew chapter 4, Satan tempted the Messiah by the same similar appeals. Yahweh called him the tempter in verse 3 of Matthew 4. John 13:2, the devil put it in Judas's heart to betray the Messiah. John 13:27, Luke 22:3, he put it in Judas's heart. And you know why that it found a place to rest there? Because Judas was a devil from the very beginning. You'll do the works of your father if you have a connection to the bloodline, the seed line. You say, oh, God, buddy, that is so gross to think that Yahweh would come down here and make love to a woman and get her a son. And they'd call his name Jesus. They didn't a bit more call his name Jesus than they did Fred or Harry. He came in the name of his father. See, Satan is good as long as he's got you deceived. He'll let you alone when you go to church and get baptized in a false name. You won't have a bit of trouble. But boy, you see the real name and you see what the devil will do. He'll cause all of your neighbors to quit talking to you. They'll cast you out as evil. See, I told you that Satan come good and Yahweh comes evil. There's a burden. There's a price. And heaven's cheap at any price, but Yahweh ain't got enough fools for his sake. Yahweh ain't got enough crazy people that'll believe him and stand for him. You wait till your son or your daughter spits in your face and turns around and walks away out of your life. Yeah, I've seen a lot of families divided over taking this truth. I really don't know how Satan brings these things that seem so good and seem so right. I mean, after all, you don't believe in Santa Claus, you old Scrooge. You're evil. Why would you deny them little children a Christmas present when they believe it with all of their heart? Satan is the best friend that man has got, if you'll believe him. Yeah, he'll treat you good. He'll help you. He'll help you get to church every Sunday. if the preacher's up there preaching false doctrine? And you say, well, he don't preach false doctrine. He preaches the Bible. He takes the Bible and reads out of it. There's been more people deceived by reading the Bible and not understanding the parable of Matthew 13. All you've got to do is read Matthew 13 and just lay the Bible down and believe it. That an evil tree cannot, I don't care how good it is, bring forth the fruit that Yahweh will receive and let it into heaven. The devil can be so good. He'll live so perfect in front of you. His children will turn out so good. My children, most of them have turned out. I've got one son that has turned out, and I believe that Yahweh's got his hand on him, and Yahweh will use him. All the rest of my children are damaged with drugs, and that's all that's on their mind. Fighting and drugging and doing evil things. And if I'd have been a Baptist preacher like I started out and stayed in there, they'd all graduated from Harvard. It's the truth. Satan is truly man's greatest enemy if you're doing good. If you succumb to the lies of Satan, then Satan will let you do good and your children do good. But as soon as Job put everything on his line and Yahweh said, well, you can have everything but his life, go ahead and put the trials and the tribulations on him and we'll see what he's got. Well, you're going to be tried as gold tried in the fire. And I got to get off of here. My time is done coming down. I'm sponsored tonight by Brother Mark and Sister Audrey down in the great state of Mississippi. Tomorrow night I'll be sponsored by Brother Paul out of the great state of Michigan. And on Friday night I'll be sponsored by Brother Bud and Brother Ed down in the great state of Mississippi. And I'm sponsored the whole week by the tithes and offerings that keeps me here at the microphone 6 nights a week live. I do it all live, ministering to you, and I hope that I've been a blessing to you. That's what I want to be, but I've got to tell you the truth, and I know that sometimes people get mad at me because I tell the truth. I had a guy call me up from Texas a couple of nights ago, and man, he raked me over the coals. He said, I've got some constructive criticism for you if you can take it. I mean, they don't cut you no slack. Maybe you got a headache. Maybe you're just sitting here at the microphone and your eyes are glued together. Maybe you're trying to cough and puke at the same time, and maybe you just don't feel good, but that ain't good enough. You gotta belly up when you come to the mic and bring it in the greatest, most humblest possible way to speak to that person out there. Maybe one person and he said, you need to ramp it up a little bit. You dwell on things a little bit too long. You need to get it up and get it on. Oh, he gave me a pep talk. And I really appreciate that, brother. Satan is an enemy, but the wounds of a friend is better than the deceitful lies of an enemy. Go ahead and tell me when I need it. Ramp it up and get on it. You ain't got time to be sick. You ain't got time to lay your head on the table. You got to get up and get it on with all your heart. Oh, my. So I've always tried to live by that principle. Sometimes we all fail, and sometimes we come short. Satan doesn't do his own dirty work. He works through agents that are willing to have it. He sent the false preachers who have transformed themselves into angels of light and goodness. He sent prophets, false teachers and apostles and prophets. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, where I'm quoting from, false teachers do not appear as false teachers, or no one would believe them. But the world has gone after the false doctrine, deceitful workers, who appear as ministers of righteousness. And they'll deceive the very elect. I got to get out here. Yahweh bless you tonight. You can call me tonight at 423-351-1082. That's 423-351-1082. I'd be glad to talk to you here tonight on the Late Show. Praise Yahweh. You know, we can sleep on the other side. We can go to a ball game some other time. Had a guy ask me, Dave, I'm going to go catfishing with him. Catfish fishing. He said, man, we just catch them so big we can't hardly lift them with a hand. I said, really? Yeah, he was all enthused about that. Making plans to go, you know. Sun shining down here a little bit. He said, be a good time to get them. Oh, boy. Oh, how Satan is. Yep. Maybe you'd rather be out on the golf course doing a golfing when the sun's shining. Maybe you should be out there, doing those things that flesh likes to do. I ain't got time for you, devil. I got work to do for Yahweh. As for me and my house, we got to keep on keeping on for Yahweh. I hope and trust that that's your rule at your house. And Yahweh bless you. When the devil comes around to tempt you and try you, be faithful. We're all going to be tried. We're all going to be tempted. We're all going to have our problems. If we love Yahweh and we keep His commandments and serve Him, your children will turn out to be pieces of junk. Your bank account will melt and run out. Lost all my money on a 40-day fast. Every bit of it. And I thought, oh man, the better you do, the harder Satan does. He comes to kill you, steal you, or destroy you. And boy, he can put on some very convincing arguments. Don't believe a word of it. He's powerful. Acts 26:18, Paul and his preaching turned men from the power of Satan over unto Yahweh. But it can go the other way when you play in the devil's playhouse. All right, let me give you my mailing address tonight. It's simply Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568 in Sweetwater, Tennessee. Now, that's a Post Office Box 568. And Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. And may Yahweh take a good blessing and love to you. May He reach out His hands to you.